2 Thessalonians in chapter number 3 this morning. Good to see each and every one. God's house had a very good couples night on Friday night and had a good time of fellowship and a great lesson. Just a good time, and I appreciate everybody that came out was able to do that. Looking forward to today and what God has for us, and it's already been a good day. And if you miss Sunday school, you miss a blessing. And always a good time in Sunday school as well. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3, before we read our verse, years ago, a man desired, he was a very wealthy man, he desired to have something special hanging in his house. He wanted a painting that exemplified peace. So, he had like a contest. He offered a great monetary prize, whichever artist from anywhere across the world, give him the best painting that exemplified peace. After months, they were all gathered there on his estate, and he narrowed it down to 10 paintings. One by one, he began to unveil the paintings. He started down at number 10, revealed and pulled the veil off, and people clapped and cheered. It was a nice painting. And they did the 9th, 8th, 7th, 6th. All those got some sort of a prize, but nothing near to what the number one painting would get. Finally, the tension began to grow. People were getting excited about it, and they got down to just 2 paintings left. And the second painting, they unveiled it. And it was almost like just a, the place began to clap when they saw it. What they saw was a beautiful painting of a mirror smooth lake, green trees under a soft blush evening sky. Along the grassy shore, there was a flock of sheep that were grazing undisturbed. It was simply a beautiful picture. The people began to whisper, "What could beat that?" So he reached over to the winning painting. And when he took the veil off, there was a gasp across the audience. Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I'll finish it later. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and in verse number 16, simply says this, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always, by all means. The Lord be with you all. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look at your word this morning. Pray you'd help us as we study this thought of peace. God, the world is wanting peace. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just please work in our lives. May we as Christians understand what real peace is. If there's anyone here today that's not saved, I pray that they would find that real peace today. And I love you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, it says there, "Now the Lord of peace." As I just said in my prayer, a lot of people looking for peace today. There's a lot of people that are wanting peace. On my way here, I turned on the news this morning. Grace and I were in the car heading here to ride the bus, and while we drove in, we listened to the news update, and they shared this news that this peace treaty that was arranged there with the Taliban, and they were talking about all the details with that. And, you know, if there's peace and our soldiers can come home, amen for that. But the fact is this, that in our earth, 7,000 year history. Understand what I'm about to say, that only 8% of those thousands of years has this world actually seen peace. In the history of mankind, there have been over 15,000 wars. In the history of mankind, there have been over 4 billion killed in wars. In the history of this world, there have been 8,000 peace treaties made and broken. We live in a world today, even at part of the end times, that we'll live in a world that is crying out for peace. But instead, we're going to get wars. rumors of war. We live in a world today that wants peace desperately. This war-crazy society seeks peace. That's not the kind of peace I'm talking about. There are wounded spirits that are trying to find peace. There are people that have been hurt as a result of sin, the result of grief, calamities, abuses. They've been wounded. Something inside of them just can't rest because of the hurt, because of the anger, because of the bitterness. We live in a world today where there's a whole lot of people that I just described that are just trying to find peace. They'll turn to things such as drugs and alcohol and a wicked lifestyle, just trying to hide the hurt, trying to cover the hurt, to mask the hurt, to try to ignore the hurt, or whatever it takes to just drown it out. But every time they come to their senses, every time they get sober again, they still need peace. There are weary people that are just working and giving and going and going, and they think, well, if I just attain a little bit more, I'll have peace. If I just get a little bit more retirement. You know how much money was lost this week? Some of you are like, yes, I know. Right? Yeah, all right. Stock markets begin to crash. A lot of people lost a lot of money, and it's just a reminder about the insecure riches of this world. Not place all of your hope in what the world has. There are people who are just trying and giving of themselves. There are people that are fearful living in this world. Afraid of that next bill. Afraid of that virus that's going around. Afraid of the next doctor's appointment. They just want peace. There are wandering souls. There are some people, now look at me, that walked into a church of some sort today and sat in a pew not knowing anything that's going on, but they are there for one reason. They're just trying to find peace. Their life has left them empty. Homes have fallen apart. Things are seemingly in ashes all around them. And they say, well, maybe I'll find it in a church. Maybe I'll find it. And listen to me, you will not find peace in religion. You will not find peace just by sitting in a church building. Read our text again. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always. By all means, the Lord be with you all. I don't know everyone's story this morning, but I do know this, that there are some here this morning. I know it because I've said in church in this way, but I know there's some here this morning because God laid this message on my heart, that you just want peace. You just want peace. The Bible talks a lot about peace. Examine this with me. Number one, I want you to see this. Signs of peace. Signs of peace. It says, now the Lord of peace. Well, what is this peace? What is this peace that it's being talked about here? The Lord of peace. Obviously, it's not, you know, some peace treaty being signed, or what is this peace that he's talking about? It's not a bunch of money, because that can be gone in a moment. What is this peace that is spoken of here? Keep something here because we'll come back, but look back in Romans chapter number 8 real quick with me. Romans chapter number 8. Look with me in verse number 33. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 33. Let me give you some signs of peace. The first sign of peace, the sign, you say, well, do I have peace? I hope that you do. If not, I hope you'll leave today with peace. The first sign of peace I want to point out this morning is that of confidence. Confidence. In Romans chapter number 8, read with me verse number 33. It says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword?" Verse number 37, "Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You have in this passage of Scripture confidence, and that confidence is found in answering of three questions. Those three questions are in verse 33, 34, and 35. The very first thing that we see confidence is built on, number one, is just being justified, justification. It says there in verse 33, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." It is God. Now, what does justified mean? Justified means, and we're going to talk about it tonight in evening service, so I hope you'll be here. We'll explore that more. But being justified means this: it is a clear record. It is, as some define it, just as if I never sinned. In other words, you've been found innocent. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Again, God is the only one who can justify. That moment that you realized you were a sinner and that Jesus died for you and you believed in him and what he did for you on the cross, God justified you. Look what it says there. No one can charge you. No one can make you guilty. Amen. Now, you're not getting this, so we're going to stay here just a second, because you'd be very happy about it right now. In other words, there is nothing that no one can do that you are not justified. By the way, that includes you. You can't do anything. There is no one that can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. That moment that you got saved, you were declared justified, you are now forgiven, and there's not even a past. It's removed. That's why I said there's nothing that can separate you. Nor things present, nor things to come. You say, well, he didn't mention the past. Because there is no past. It has been totally removed. Only God can do this. We'll explore it tonight. But he chooses to cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. He chooses to remember them no more. He chooses to cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. That is something that only God can do. That's why only God can justify. If you're saved today, your sins are forgiven. They'll never be brought back to you. Praise God for justification. And there's a lot of people that are looking for peace because they're counting on their salvation by what they do. And any time that you base your salvation on your own self, you'll never have peace. But when you put your eyes on the Lord and you say, it's he that justified, he that saved me, and he is in charge. Confidence. Justification brings confidence. The second thing in verse number 34, the second question. Now, the first question was, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? No one. It's God that justifies. The second question is this in verse 34, who is he that condemneth? Not only have I been justified, but I have been purified. I've been purified. It says there in that verse, who is he that condemneth? You know, sometimes we allow things in our life, God forbid, but we do. And those things make us feel pretty rotten. dirty. We mess up, we fall on our face. People may be able to point at us and say, yeah, but I know what you did, and they may be right. But listen to me. People cannot condemn you. People do not control you. And people do not have to change your life. Now that's a deep statement, but I want you to take a big, deep breath with me this morning and swallow what I just said. Look at the verse. Who is he that condemneth? He answers it. Christ is the one that died for you. Amen. Christ is the one that rose again. Christ is the one at the right hand of God. Amen. What's he doing at the right hand of God? He's interceding on our behalf. The Bible doesn't say we don't mess up. But the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father who's there. He died for our sins. He rose again. And he's making intercession for us. And it's the devil that likes to use people or our own selves to try to condemn us and try to make us think we're dirty, we're not right. But God is the one that's in charge. He's the one that intercedes on our behalf. And we can rest today knowing that not only did God justify me, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he is there to make intercession for me. I am pure in the eyes of God. I've been justified. I'm purified. And then in verse number 35, let me stop. There may be some that did some terrible things to you. They do not have the authority to control your life. There may be some people that did some terrible things. They do not condemn you. I'm not belittling. We live in a world today, 2 out of 3 children will get abused by the time they grow up. That's awful. Wicked. Makes me want to cry. Makes me want to punch somebody. Because I love our kids. Because of that, the more, as long as the Lord doesn't come back, we're going to be dealing with this more. There are probably, because statistics demand it, there are probably some kids sitting right now in the auditorium that have been hurt by people that should not have hurt them. And I hate it. But I want to look at those kids, and I want them to look at me in the eyes real quick this morning. And I want you to know that God is greater than that. And you don't have to be condemned to some lifestyle, and you don't have to feel dirty, and you don't have to feel like your life's ruined. God will use you in a great way. You let God have your life. You let God have that bitterness. You let God, and God will transform you. This. Let him. If anybody ever does something to you, you let me know. Some people live like they can't ever do anything for God, or God hates them, or God's separated from them. No one condemns you. God's in charge. And he loves you. He died for you. He rose again for you. He is seated at the right hand of God right now. Look at me. Interceding for you. And what does interceding for me mean? It means this. He's saying, Father, everybody look at me. I love them. They love me. It's all going to be okay when you're God's child. You see, there's confidence. The third question, I got to go, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? See, confidence comes from me accepting the fact that I have been justified, I am purified, and then if you'll give me the liberty, I am fortified. Amen? See, what do you mean by fortified? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The devil wants you to feel like you're separated from the love of Christ. Well, the Bible says that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, skip down there to verse number 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what does those verses say? God loves you and nothing will ever change it. He loves you. You see, peace comes. This peace that I'm talking about, the peace that comes from God, comes with us accepting the fact, I am justified, I am purified, and I am fortified. God will always love me, and no enemy of this world or a world we cannot see can separate me from the love of God. Confidence. Because if the devil can destroy your confidence, he destroys your peace. He did it in the Garden of Eden when he got Eve to lose her confidence in God. They lost peace. So signs of this peace, number one, is confidence. Number two is calmness. Turn over to Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 7. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 7. A few pages to the right. Philippians 4 and verse number 7 says this. We're going to have peace. It starts with having confidence. And I'll just say this one time before I keep going. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, say, preacher, how do I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior? By believing that you're a sinner, but that Jesus died for your sins. When you, the Bible says, John chapter 1 and verse number 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you believe that Jesus is who he says he is and he died for your sins as a sinner, you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you can have peace. That confidence that I'm justified, purified, and fortified. And then that peace brings with it a calmness. In Philippians 4 and verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace brings calmness. Again, the verse says, the peace of God. Number one, what's this? How does this peace happen? Well, one, it happens through faith. Say, where do you see faith in this verse? And the peace of God, which does what? Passeth all what? You know what that means? You can't humanly figure it out. If you try to figure out God, no peace. His ways are unsearchable. They're beyond our ways, the Bible says. Even the thought of the Trinity, the thought of eternity, we can't comprehend it. But by faith, we accept it. I don't understand, Pastor, what you're talking about, how God can just remove this bitterness out of my life. By faith, you believe him. Hebrews talks about this bitterness that wants to set up a root in your life. And when that happens, it's because we failed the grace of God. In other words, God says, I will remove this bitterness out of your life if you receive his grace. It's faith. You see, peace comes when we accept what God said. When we accept what God said, it passes our understanding. In other words, when we just say, well, that's what it says in the Bible, so that's what is true. Now, if you wanted to get up here today and try to explain to me how Jonah can be swallowed and live 3 days in a fish, and you want to debate that, we could really get into some serious debate. But when I just say that's what the Bible says, and by faith, I accept it, it passes my understanding. And I have peace. You say, well, what if Bill Nye gets in here and tries to debate this? He could probably debate me around circles, probably. I mean, he'll use words. I'll be like, I have no idea what you just said, right? I have no clue. Well, won't your faith be shaken? No. Because the Bible says so. But can you explain it? Not everything. But by faith, which passes my understanding. In other words, I just accept it and God gives me peace because it's on the authority of God's word. There is faith, and when I am fixed, it says there again, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. When I accept it that God's word is true, and that is the only thing that will dictate how I feel, my heart, and what I think, my mind, I will have peace. In other words, simply stated, when you say this is right no matter what, then I'll have peace. There'll be a calmness. There will also be, turn back in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter number 50. Isaiah chapter 50. We could do a long study on this, but we'll wrap this first point up with this. In Isaiah chapter number 50, signs of peace. You'll know you have peace when you have confidence, when you have calmness, when you have conviction. In Isaiah chapter 50, in verse number 7, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. The prophet said here, he said, I know God's going to see me through this. I know. My spirit wants to get confounded, but I am going to set my face like a flint. I am going to go forward. I am going to just trust God. I am not going to be ashamed. I'm going to take a step after a step, and I'm going to let God see me through this. Amen. You say, well, why are you preaching this message? Because we live in a world today of people that are just trying to find peace. And the fact is this, that peace comes when we set our minds and our hearts that I'm just going to trust His word. I am justified. I'm purified. God will love me. That will never change. Here in this passage of Scripture, just look at the verse as I say these things. When I determine that I am going to get my strength from Christ, it is very simple. I'm just going to trust what He said. My soundness and my surety is from the Lord Jesus Christ. I will not be ashamed. Peace. You say, well, if I don't have these, does that mean I'm lost? Not at all. How many scriptures tell the believer to be sober-minded? How many scriptures warn the believer that the devil wants to trouble our minds and our thoughts? You see, when we, the devil, again, I say this a lot, but the devil doesn't care about you. You're nothing to him. He's never going to rule over people in hell. He will be in torments in hell. He's not sitting there saying, boy, if I could just get Jake, that would be awesome. He could care less about Jake. He could care less about me. He could care less about you. He just doesn't want God to get the glory in your life. And if he can keep God from getting the glory, then he is a success in his eyes. And so the way he can keep God from getting the glory is by destroying our peace. So he attacks our peace. You see the signs of peace. Then I want you to see back in our text. Go back real quick. These next few thoughts are quick. I want you to see the source of peace. Back in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 16, it says, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Can I tell you what the source of peace is? The Bible says it. It's himself. The only way you're going to find peace is through the Lord Jesus Christ. The world cannot give you this peace. Fulfilling the lust of your flesh will never give you this peace. turning to some sort of thing that will cloud your mind will never give you peace. Having a huge bank account will never give you peace. The only source of peace is the Lord Himself. That comes through, number one, salvation. Two, scriptures. Number three, just serving that God. I just gave you something that would really change your life if you'd listen to what I just said. Peace will come, but number one, getting saved. Number two, this book is just all that matters. I'm going to do it. I've had people tell me, I'll give them a scripture. That just don't make sense. Not to our human minds, but I promise if God said it, it works. And then after you do that, you need to start serving Him. Do what He wants you to do. Live every day as He would have you to live. And then, peace. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Peace. Peace is found from only the Lord. You see the span of peace in this verse. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace. Always. Isn't that wonderful? When will God give you peace? That's not a trick question. It's right there in the verse. One word answer. What is it? When will God give you peace? Always. I've either struck a nerve or I have lost you. He only gives peace. Amen? He only gives peace. The Lord of peace Himself give you peace. What's that next word? Always. He'll always give you peace. He won't take it away from you. He always gives you peace. He's not hiding it from you. He always gives you peace. If your life is full of fear, it didn't come from God. He gives you peace. Next word. I'm going to keep doing it till you say it. He gives you peace what? Always. He will not give you confusion. He's not the author of confusion. He gives you peace. He won't bring doubt into your life. He always gives you peace. He gives you peace. Always. Always. Everybody see that? God doesn't work by bringing great fear in your life. He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and what? Sound mind. He gives you peace. Always. Even in the midst of our storms, when the disciples are right there where they should be, and God was with them and a storm was turning that ship upside down, God gave them peace. And He always will. When they came up and the man had never walked a day in his life and they lowered him through the roof, can you help him? God gave him peace, as He always does. Every blind man that went to Him, every dumb man that went to Him, everyone who's ever come to the Lord, God gives him peace. Next word. Anyone who's ever drawn nigh to God, He has drawn nigh to them. Always. They that come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Always. Always. Isn't that a great word? He will always give you peace. You say, well then, what is this stuff going in my life? We are not accepting what His word says. We're not practicing what His word says. We're allowing the devil to bring his ways into our life. Recognize it for what it is. God always brings peace. The span of peace is always. Then you see the showing of peace. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. What's that mean, by all means? It means this, that He'll do it in so many different ways. No matter what you face in life, if you'll let Him, He'll give you peace. I've got some things coming up in our life that I'm not sure how I'm going to take care of it, but God has given me peace. I'm just going to trust Him. I have financial issues. I've got things we all go through, no matter what it is. You know, Brother Wade's having surgery here. What, 9 days? Brother Wade, 9 days? In the midst of that, God gives peace. Always. Some are facing maybe financial, medical, family issues. I don't care what it is. You'll let Him. In any means that you face, God will give you peace. See, why would God want to do that? Number one, because you're His child. But number two, He'll use it for His glory. Even in the midst of death, God will give peace. Do not say we do not grieve, but we sorrow not as those who have no hope. Amen? That even in our worst of times, God gives us peace. You see signs of peace, the source of peace, the span of peace, the showing of peace. And I'm done with this, the secret of peace. The secret of peace. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace, always, by all means. Here's the secret of peace. The Lord be with you all. You know why we can have that peace? He's with us. The disciples are in a storm and their ship was being tossed to and fro, but they found peace. You know why? The Lord was there. I got good news for you. He told every one of us today, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So no matter what you're going through, you can have peace. He wants you to have it. He wants you to enjoy it. 10 paintings. Second painting was the most beautiful scene, the crowded scene, man. Beautiful. Pulled off the cover of that winning painting. The whole crowd gasped. There depicted was thunder and lightning and a terrible storm, a tumultuous waterfall. Trees were bent over with the wind. The water was crashing down below and the mist was rising with great force and pressure. In the middle of that waterfall was a rock jutted out, and that out from that rock was one branch. And on that branch, the nest. Baby birds were in that nest, resting under the wings of the mother bird. Even when everything around, scary, harsh, cold, dark, we as His children, under His wings, have peace. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Pray, Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this past